Welcome to Lifehouse Church Online. To know more about our senior pastors, head to the Lifehouse website. We hope you enjoy the service.
Come on, why don't we stand to our feet, church? I am excited, very excited. It's worthy to stand to our feet as we're about to hear the Word of God. And we stand because we love the Word of God and we want to honour the man or woman who comes to preach. And as mentioned, Pastor Richard and Helen are at Pastor Helen's nephew's wedding in Sydney, but they are very, very excited. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Pastor Jesse Winchester to the stage to preach this morning. They were honestly very, very excited that Pastor Jesse could be with us. Pastor Jesse has been leading people, pastoring people, leading churches for the last 20 years now. And right now is the New South Wales director of our biggest Bible college in Australia, Alpha Crucis Bible College. And I'm sure Pastor Jesse will share a little bit about the last 7 to 10 years or so, but actually planted a church in Thailand, Bangkok. From Australia, felt the call of God to go and start a church over in Thailand, has been leading that and building that. But he's back in Australia, so we're very excited to be able to have him preach here this morning. So I'm going to let him do the rest of the talking for this morning, but can we please put our hands together and show some love for Pastor Jesse Winchester as he comes to share the word this morning.
Awesome. You can take your seats. High five someone on the way down. Oh, good to be here. Thanks so much. Very, very cool. What an honor. I've never used one of these stands, so apologies if this thing like collapses mid-sermon. What a privilege to be in your church. I've heard a lot about you and your church. I love your pastors. I'm sure you hear that all the time, but I'm sure you love them too because they're unbelievable. Give your pastors, I know they're not here, but let's honor your pastors. Pastor Richard and Helen, I've known kind of from a distance and then over the last number of years got to know them a bit closer and connected with them, had lunches with them, and just love your church already and love what you guys are doing. Love your pastors. It's an honor to preach the word. Are you guys staying up with me the whole time? Up to you. Okay, no worries. And I'm excited about it. You guys can go. That's okay. Even though I love the cool music in the background and you could stay, I'll give you a rest. As you already heard from Pastor Dave, I've been pastoring in ministry for the last 20 years. And my wife and I, originally from Sydney, but then we moved to Melbourne, the best city in Australia. If you agree with me, give me a yell. So we pastored in Melbourne for a number of years and love Melbourne, and then felt the call of God to move to Bangkok, Thailand, and plant a church with our two kids. We moved from Melbourne, you know, the most amazing city. But who knows, when God speaks to you, you got to obey it. You got to be willing to say yes to God. You got to be willing to be obedient to God. And it's really easy to preach that stuff, really easy to share that in a life group or a connect group. But then every now and then God does ask you to do something that you're like, oh, really? He's asked me to do it. And we went there and planted a church. The last 7 years we've been in Thailand. So I think I've got a photo of my family up on the screen. If it doesn't come up, that's okay. There's my beautiful wife and kids. As you can see, they look like they've been at the snow. It's because we've been living in Asia for the last 7 years, which Bangkok, Thailand, the average temperature is 32 degrees all year round. And then straight back to Australia. So people think that we've been to the snow, but no, it's just we're not used to the cold weather yet. And so that's my wife and my son Jackson and my daughter Ruby Grace. As you already heard, I'm the New South Wales State Director for Alpha Crucis. Alpha Crucis University. So our movement has a college called Alpha Crucis, if you've never heard of it. And it's on the path to becoming the first Christian university in Australia. Who thinks that's good? Who thinks we need some Christian influence in every sphere of society? So teachers, business people, counselors, chaplains, pastors, everyone can be studying at Alpha Crucis. So it's an unbelievable vision to be a part of. About 4,000 students studying right now with campuses across every capital city in Australia and also Auckland, New Zealand as well. How did I get the job? I have no idea. It could be that my father-in-law is the president. That's the only kind of thing I could think, because I'm a pastor and I'm just in this environment. I don't even know what's going on half the time. But it's an absolute privilege to be there and be a part of the team. As I mentioned, I've been in ministry about 20 years. My wife and I celebrate our 20-year anniversary in January being married, which is amazing. We got two kids. My son, when he was born, he was the easy kid. So when he was born, we thought parenting is a breeze. Does any parents in the house know what I'm talking about? Like, he was that kid that slept through the night. He did. It was a breeze. We thought we should write a book on parenting because parenting is so easy. And then we had our daughter, and she just started like screaming, and pretty much is still screaming now. And the reason I'm telling you this is just so you get to know me a little bit. But my daughter, when she was a bit younger, came home from like kinder, and she said, having dinner together, she goes, "Dad, I've got something to tell you." I asked her how her day was. She goes, "I have a boyfriend." At that time, she's about 4 years old. No one ever tells you this stuff. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I thought like 18. She's like about 4 years old. Comes home, she says, "Dad, I have a boyfriend." I said, "You can have a boyfriend when you're 35. Any dads with me here? Yes. You can have a boyfriend when you're 35. She looks at me with daggers, like only Ruby can. Slams her fist on the dinner table and says, "Dad, but I love him." Come on. Any dads feel the pain right there? No one prepares you for this stuff. So if you're praying during the week, please pray for my wife and I. Pray for our parenting. Pray for our family. That's a normal night in the Winchester household. Hey, who's ready for the Word of God today? Well, the title of my message is Take 12 Stones. So if you're writing notes, you can write Take 12 Stones. And if you have a Bible, you can open to Joshua chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. You can check out the screens. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Hang with me just for a sec. It says this: "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israel to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." See, I enjoy the game of golf. I don't get to play golf very often, but it's a game that almost anyone can play. The problem with golf is this: but your abilities may dictate how much you enjoy your game. Who knows what I'm talking about right there? Either you could be enjoying it, you could be walking with friends and it's a beautiful day, or you could be throwing your clubs in the forest because you're so frustrated with how you're playing on that day. There's one thing I've learned about golf. I don't know a lot about it, but there's one thing I've learned. It's the making of a breaking of a good player. Is if your stroke is not right, you simply shouldn't play until it is. You see, when your stroke is off and you continue to play, it tends to hinder your development and you start to develop something called an incorrect technique. However, when your stroke is right and you hit the ball correctly, you begin to develop something called muscle memory. Who knows what I'm talking about? You're like, "I'm in church. Is this a golf seminar? Like, what am I a part of today?" What you begin to develop is something called muscle memory, meaning that you become more consistent. So the real difference in your game is made by the memories you carry from a previous game into your current game. See, who knows this is the same with life? Whatever we choose to take with us will determine the effect it has on us later. See, Joshua and the nation of Israel are in the middle of a miracle. If you haven't read this part of the Bible, I encourage you, Joshua chapter 4. They're in the middle of a miracle. And this is a moment that the Israelites had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds. You think you have to wait a long time in Macca's drive-thru. These people were waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for this very moment. Almost 700 years of waiting, and they were going to cross the Jordan River. I'm sure they'd been preparing, been praying, they'd been dreaming for this exact moment. And they're crossing the Jordan on dry ground. God stops the water, the flow of the water, and they walk straight through this dry ground, this land that they've been waiting to get to for hundreds and hundreds of years. As they're crossing the Jordan, mid-walk, God hits a pause button. Tells them to stop for a second. I'd be going, what are you doing, God? You could have told us like the last 700 years. You're stopping now to tell us something. What are you thinking? Right in the middle of crossing, God hits the pause button and says, I want you to remember something. So this is a context that's going on right now. He pauses them and he gets them to remember the work that he has done. Who knows that you and I, every now and then, we need to stop. So many emails, so much work happening, so many things to respond to, so many like kids to drop off, so I've got to do this for church. Every now and then, God just says to me, Jess, just chill out. Remember what I did. Just stop. Who knows, in our society today, we need to stop for a moment. We need to allow the voice of God to speak into our situation. So as they reach the other side of the Jordan, as they're walking through, God speaks to Joshua and says, choose 12 men, one from each tribe, to bring a stone from the middle of the Jordan. The thing that you might not know yet is when God spoke to Joshua about choosing 12 men, I wonder if these 12 men, when Joshua spoke to them, had some negative thoughts in their mind. Because the last time 12 men were chosen, it came with great failure and great defeat. And it was a national memory. This was a big memory. I wonder if, maybe it's just me, but I wonder in their minds if they were thinking, last time 12, this, and they carried some baggage from that time. 40 years of wandering around. 40 years of waiting and a failure as a nation. And now he chooses 12 men again. I wonder if they had some pretty negative memories the last time that 12 people were chosen. And their trip could have represented a thing of great defeat in their mind. So the task was to take a stone from the middle of the Jordan and carry it into their future, into their promised land. This is a significant thing in Scripture because God tells them to take something from the middle of their miracle, that moment, with them and carry it into their future. See, throughout Scripture, rocks and stones represent memories. Whenever you see a rock or a stone mentioned in Scripture, it generally talks about memories or a testimony or something where someone wanted to honor God in that moment. See, whenever God moved in the lives of people in the Old Testament, they would construct a monument. They would get some stones together. Seems weird to us, I know, but this is what happened in the altar. They get some rocks together and they would build an altar. They would build a monument intentionally. So next week when you come to church, don't say, you know, Jesse, the guy last week told me to bring some rocks. So don't come into church with these massive rocks and just dump them on the altar and go, this is my monument to God. But in this day and age, you know what? Our monument to God is our memories, our testimonies, our stories. When we speak to other people about the goodness of God, what are we doing? We are setting up a monument to God, a thing of worship to God, to remember the goodness of God in your life, in your family, in your church, and in my life. We say, God, this is for you. But in those days, they would construct a monument. See, Noah left the ark, and the Bible says the moment that he took a step out of the ark, he built an altar. he's much more spiritual than me. If I stepped out of the ark after 5 months on a boat with animals, I'd be looking, where is the next cafe? Like, I need coffee right now. Where? I need a triple shot. Keep it coming. I need coffee. But Noah puts his foot on the ground, and it says this in Scripture. If you don't believe me, go read it for yourself. It says he built an altar. He didn't complain. He didn't do anything. He said, God, I'm going to remember what you've done in my life in this moment. I'm building an altar to you. I'm going to remember this moment. See, God appeared to Abraham, showing him the promised land. And when he got there, what did he do? Built an altar. The people of God left Egypt and were victorious. What did Moses do? Build an altar. Probably one of my favorite ones, Jacob. Slept on a rock. It's just cool. He had a dream from, you're just like, that's just so weird. It is. He slept on a rock, had a dream from God, and he builds an altar when he wakes up. I'll remember what God has done during this moment in my life. See, a Christian that has lasting change, that isn't up one Sunday and down the next, that isn't up here, life's so good, and then down in the dumps the next week. A Christian that is consistent in their walk with God is someone who turns moments into worship. You don't go past a moment with God too quickly. You say, God, I'm going to remember what you've done in my life in this moment. I'm going to turn a moment with God into a monument for God. When God speaks to me, I will not let that go. When God does a miracle in my family, I will not let it go. When God provides for my church, I will not let it go. When God provides for my children, I'm not going to let that go. I'm going to remember this moment. If you want lasting change as a Christian, don't complain, don't whinge about everything. When God does even a small thing in your life, this is what you do. You go, God, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to thank God for that. I'm going to set up a monument, an altar before God. You've been so good to me. If you don't want to live that kind of Christian life, well, then compare yourself to everyone else and go, God, why didn't you give me a bigger miracle? God, that's a way to live in defeat and a way to live an up and down Christian life. But if you want to live a life for Jesus that's consistent, turn moments with God into monuments to him. Come on, give Jesus some praise. Who here loves a good holiday? Give me a wave if you love a good holiday. Everyone else, you're way more spiritual. You just want to pray and fast. I love a good holiday. Who loves holidays to the bush or to the mountains or to the rivers or hike? No one, okay? Or one person. Thank you. I see that hand. Bless you. Who loves beach holidays? Come on, you're my people. There we go. Beach holidays. Well, my family, when we go on holidays, we always try to go to the beach. That's kind of our thing. And when our kids were little, our kids would always, we would say they could bring like a rock or a shell. Does anyone do that when you go to the beach? You can take a memory. And my kids, instead of bringing one or two, they would just bring like mud and rocks and everything. And they just like try to put it in the car. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? This is too messy. So eventually I'm like, you can just bring one little thing as a memory. I'm a bit slow on the uptake, but later on in life, after having kids for a while, we decided that as a family, we're going to get magnets. So every place that we traveled, if we went to Singapore or if we went to somewhere down the coast, we would get a magnet and we would put it on our fridge. And we would have things from Wet n Wild, just any holiday we would do, we would get a magnet and we would put it on the fridge so that every single time we walked past that fridge, we would remember those memories. We'll go, remember how fast that slide was? Oh, that was amazing. You remember what we did when we were at the beach on that day? Remember those memories? The reason why we did that is because we wanted to preserve significant memories in our family. We didn't want to walk past the good things that we'd experienced, but we wanted to, every time we saw that, it would trigger a memory in my life and our family's life and celebrate the fun times that we had. And in our lives, the same is true. Significant memories in your life or moments deserve to be preserved. So my first point today, I know you're like, man, there's only 35. Don't worry, guys. First point, joke if you're new. First point is this. God works miracles, but it's up to us to build monuments. God works miracles, but it's up to us to build monuments. See, many of us experience miracles in our lives, and some of us are literally walking in them right now. I'll tell you what I mean. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, you were praying for a job or a promotion or a home. And many of us, right now, you're walking in the middle of it. Who knows what I'm talking about? You're like on your knees before God. I need this, God. If you come through, I'll do anything for you. Anyone else prayed those prayers or just me? Yeah. And now you're like, wait a second. Yes, I do have a job. God did provide for my family. I do have a home to live in. I do have this. And God did provide. You're literally walking in what you prayed for 2 or 3 years ago. But the difference is this. Tomorrow morning when you go to work, don't go, oh, the boss always wants me to come in early, because you're walking in your miracle. What you need to do is take that moment and preserve that moment and say, God, I remember when I didn't even have a job. I remember when I couldn't even pay my bills. I remember when you came through in my life, and I'm always going to be grateful for what you have done in my life. That's lasting change in your life. Instead of moving on from it, take a moment to set up an altar for God. To say, God, I won't let this go. You're the one that did the miracle, but I'm not letting this go. I'm going to build a monument to God. See, Joshua understood this, telling the people in years to come, when your kids ask you, what do these stones mean, Dad? What happened back then? You can tell your children of the goodness of God in your life. Future generations, you'll never believe it. When we started the church and we had nothing and God came through, or in our family, we didn't have enough money to pay the bills, and look at what God has done in our family. Future generations are going to celebrate because of what God has done in your life, but don't let it go past too quickly. See, there's power in building a monument and telling people about your miracle. Joshua was going through the middle of a miracle, and God said, take something with you. Take something with you. See, what you and I do with our memories makes all the difference. Many of us aren't intentional about our memories. See, God asked them to go and choose 12. Go and pick 12. So I could imagine they were looking around and intentionally going to choose a stone to build this altar. And he said, I want you to remember what I did in this place, in this moment. See, God works a miracle, but it's up to you and I to build the monuments. Joshua was a smart guy. This could be my interpretation of it. But Joshua gets the young guys, like the 20-year-old, to carry these massive rocks. And they're like carrying these huge rocks, bringing them to the altar, and then they dump them down. And when 12 rocks come, this is what Joshua did. This is my version of it. Joshua went like this. All right, guys, take a step back. I've got it from here. And Joshua actually gets down and builds the altar. He intentionally takes this stone and this stone and this stone, and he builds the altar. See, in your life, if you're honest, you haven't done the heavy lifting God has. It's true. You think that promotion was because of you. Yes, it was. You did work. It's because of favor of God. God does the heavy lifting. Let's not get this mixed up for a second. God is the one that does the heavy lifting in our lives, but it's up to you and it's up to me to create a monument to say, God, it's only because of the goodness of God in my life. It's only because of the skills and the talents that you gave me in the first place. These aren't mine for my own dealings. These are yours, given as a gift to me, and it's because of the favor that you opened that door. And now I'm going to remember you. When people clap for me, I'm not going to let them clap for me. I'm going to honor the goodness of God in my life. Come on, give Jesus Christ a big hand of praise. God works in miracles, but it's up to us to build the monuments. As you already heard, I planted a church with my wife in Thailand, and in our home in Thailand, I had an office. It was like a shared office with my daughter's room, and it was a rented place, and on the wall, there was a corkboard. And if you're OCD, like you need everything like perfectly in order, anyone like my wife like that, yeah, like everything has, but my office was not like that at all. My corkboard had pieces of paper all over it, highlighted bits, dates, different places, different things that had happened. And I decided early on going to Thailand that I was going to create in my office, every time I had a moment with God, I would document it. That I'm not trying to be super spiro with that, but anytime I felt that was a significant word from God, someone encouraged me in a significant way, someone gave me a prophetic word, something God came through on, instead of forgetting about it, I was going to write it down. So the second I got home from church or from a meeting with someone, I would type it out, put the date, highlight. So when you go into my office, if you're OCD, you would be like, this place is a mess. But for me, every time I walked into my office, I would look at one of those words. And I would hear a prophetic word and I would read it over my kids. And I would begin to pray again and have faith again because of what God had done in my life. I wasn't going to let that moment go past. I was going to carry a moment into my future. I was going to carry that miracle into my future. See, the difference, maybe in your life, sometimes you come to church and the person next to you is having an encounter with God. And maybe you feel like you're not having an encounter. And there's times in our lives where we can see someone else having a breakthrough or having a miracle. And we feel like, God, when is my breakthrough coming? When is my miracle coming? I've been believing, I've been standing and wanting this miracle year after year. When is mine coming? See, one of the traps we can fall into is when we're doing well, we can forget about God. Anyone else? Are you going to leave me hanging? And we kind of think we've done it on our own. And other times in our lives, when we're down and we're struggling, maybe we compare with what other people's miracles are. And we feel let down by God. I want to read you a scripture, and I pray that this scripture speaks to you and you can hang on to it. David says in Psalm 42, verse 6, he says, my soul is downcast within me. Just stop there for 1 second. So this isn't a small issue. This is a big day. My soul is downcast within me. So this is, he's depressed. He's got anxiety. There's issues in his life that he can't deal with. But then it goes on, it says, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. See, in your life, when you're down and you're struggling and you're having issues, the first place you should go is to remembering God. Don't watch another episode of Netflix. It won't fix you. Don't watch another series and ask your friends, please give me another series that I can watch. That's not going to fix your issue. When your soul is downcast, it says in this scripture, it says, I will remember you. Because I'm going to get my eyes off my own situation and I'm going to lift my eyes to the one that can bring breakthrough in my life. I will remember you, God. I won't miss this moment. See, when someone else is having a breakthrough in their life in church and they're crying, they're encountering God. And maybe you don't feel it in church sometimes. I've been there many times. What I like to do is I like to remember the last time I had a moment with God. When you don't feel the presence of God, you don't see God's hand in your life, remember the last time that you had a moment with God. Write it down, document it, and say, God, thank you for what you have done in my life. Second thing I want to tell you today is what we choose to remember will affect our present and our future. When God turns up in your life, make sure you remember it. Never forget what God has done. See, when we moved from Thailand to Australia, we were praying for a home. And Sydney, who knows, Sydney's like pretty expensive. to live. So we're living on the mission field and we're coming back to Australia, to Sydney of all places, and thinking, God, you need to provide a home for us. And we wrote a list. Does anyone love a good list of things they pray for? I'm all for that list. So we wrote six things down. We wrote we wanted to be near family. We were pretty audacious. And because some of us, when we write prayers down, we think, oh, God's got like wars and all this other stuff. Like, he doesn't care about this. Does anyone else think those thoughts? Like, he's got too many other issues going on. And so, but we decided to be audacious and write all these, this list of things down. We want to be near family, want to be near parks, want our kids to, you know, a good school, all of those things. And the last one, you might think this is like going beyond. We wrote, we want to be near water. And even as I wrote it, I was like, dang it. Is God like, that can't, no. There's no chance. And, I got to be careful, I'm a crier. So apologies in advance. God gave us every single one of those six things. And I don't say that for any other reason. And trust me, it's a shoebox. So please don't think this is like a yacht with mansions or anything. This is like the tiniest, like you can swing a cat in the place. But it's our miracle. And with our kids, this is what we did. We said, it's not a home we're praying for. It's a miracle home. So before we saw the miracle, we said, we're going to pray for a miracle home. And God is going to provide it. So the first day we got the keys, we walked into our home, held hands with the kids and my wife, and we said, God, thank you, because you've done the heavy lifting. God, thank you, because you have provided. God, thank you. This is your home. This is your miracle home. God, you are the one that provided this. God, let this home be a place where life groups would happen. Let this be a place where people will encounter the presence of God. Let this place that our neighbors would hear about you, Jesus. And we thanked God for a miracle home. The only reason we did that is because we didn't want to forget what God had done in our lives. We didn't want to forget that He was the one that provided for us. See, this week or even today, why don't you take a moment to remember what God has done in your life? Write down a list. Carry those memories into your future and make a habit of remembering the good things that God has done. Hey, why don't you stand to your feet? I want to pray for a few people. If the worship team could come, that'd be awesome. Carry those moments with you. But did you know, one last thing I want to tell you is it's possible to build wrong monuments to God. We can carry the right memories, but it's also possible to build a wrong altar, a wrong monument. There's a guy in the Bible by the name of Gideon, and Gideon has an encounter with God, and he realizes it's the angel of the Lord. Judges 6, you can read it later on. He realizes it's the angel of the Lord. And the first thing Gideon does is what all the other guys did, builds an altar. Builds this altar to worship God, to remember God in this moment. But then God comes to him that night and says, I want you to offer another sacrifice, because your dad had built a wrong altar, and I want you to tear that monument down. See, what you and I can do sometimes is, if we're not careful, just like Joshua constructing this altar, is we can put the memory of our past, the most negative thing that's happened to us, at the center of our lives. And instead of carrying the goodness of God into our future, we actually carry significant negative memories. And we've built an altar of worship to something that God hasn't asked us to build an altar of worship to. Maybe it's from your parents, or your family background, or maybe it's just something that's happened to you. And it's real. You can't forget about it, but don't put it at the center. There's a word for Jesus in Scripture. It's a really cool word. One of the names. It's this word. It's that He's a cornerstone. He's a cornerstone. So when you set up your monument to God, make sure that Jesus is at the center, that he holds it together. Doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen. Just don't let those things become the center of your life. Don't let everything revolve around that thing. Build an altar of worship for the goodness of God in your life. Some of us today need to tear down some things in our lives. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a mindset. Maybe it's something from the past. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's a hurt that's happened. You need to move on from it. I'm not saying move on in a light way. That is real. That is painful. But don't set up an altar of worship around that thing. Allow God to bring healing. Allow God to move in your life and make sure that the thing that you are building a monument of worship to is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that came to restore you, to heal you, to set you free. And I'm going to believe today, I'm not going to be able to come out to every person, but I want to pray for you right where you are. Maybe you need a breakthrough in your life, and today could be your day. You might not feel the presence of God, but guess what? You can still create a moment with God right now. So if that's you and you're saying, Jesse, there's some things I need to tear down. Some things that I don't want to carry. Some things I don't want to bring into my future. Might have been things that have happened or things that have occurred even in the last few years. Just while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to pray for you. The reason why I want you to do that is so you're not worried about the person next to you and trying to think about what are they going to think of me, but that you would be honest before God. If that's you and you just want me to pray for you for an area in your life, I don't need to know what it is. God knows what it is. And just lift your hand up. You can put it straight down after. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yep, too many hands. You can keep it up if you want. Father, I thank you for every honest person in this place, God, that healing would flow. Power of God is here. Power of God is here. God, I pray you bring healing to those memories. God, that instead of putting negative memories at the top, God, we would prioritize the goodness of God, the signs and wonders, the miracles, the provision, the goodness that you have shown us. God, we honor you in this place. God, I pray we would fix our attention, our priorities. We wouldn't revolve our lives around the bad things that have happened to us, the negative thoughts. God, but we would allow your still, small voice to be the loudest voice, would echo within us. God, I pray that in this place, your Holy Spirit would be like soothing oil. People who are carrying bitterness and hurt and offense, God, I pray that it would, your Spirit would come right now. Just bring a healing on every life. I even see people's minds being cleared. It's like there's been a ball of knots in your mind. Haven't been able to sleep sometimes. Scripture says that he gives his beloved rest, sleep. God, I pray over every thought, every mind in this place. God, we make it captive in the name of Jesus. God, the enemy would have no place. We wouldn't build monuments and we wouldn't build the wrong altars. God, we would build an altar of worship to you. God, we love you in this place.
I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.